All right, the recorder is started. I did, by the way, get the recording posted. If anybody ever wants to go and check the recordings at reginadonacres.com, there's now a page there called, it's called NTI at Center for Inner Peace. So it's posted, and people are listening to it, I know, because other people that aren't us, because they've been commenting on it, so... Let's see, we're going to Kindle. So NTI Luke chapter 2, according to my Kindle, is on page... Actually, I don't see the page number. Who has a page number there?
127.
All right, so NTI Luke chapter 2 is talking about the birth of Jesus in the manger. Everybody here knows that story, is that true? Okay, I don't want to assume. You never know. Somebody might say, well, I don't know anything. But this is a story that's pretty popular in our culture, so most of us know the story. So that's what's being interpreted here. The birth of Jesus represents the birth of willingness. Humble at first, but promising within it all of the glory of heaven. Hello, Mr. Jack.
Hi.
And Miss Sally. Looks like we're going to need at least one more chair. Jasmine, can you help us out? Why don't you scoot that way, Ruby? Scoot closer to Danielle, and we'll let Jack and Sally... I'll sit here, and we'll let Jack and Sally sit next to each other. They like each other, I think. Oh, that's all right. Here, I'll sit right here next to Ruby, and you two can sit right there. We're happy to see you. Thank you, Jasmine. Okay? All right, good. Okay, so we're just starting Luke chapter 2 on page 127. And this is the reinterpretation of the birth of Jesus. All right, so I'll just start over. The birth of Jesus represents the birth of willingness. Humble at first, but promising within it all of the glory of heaven. Mary pondered this promise in her heart, not with the worrisome thoughts of the ego, but in her heart, where the Holy Spirit is. So if you take the time to read the Bible, what you're going to see is that, you know, Mary had been told that her son was going to grow up to be the Christ, you know, the King of the Jews, however you want to word that. And what we are being told is that this represents within us the birth of our willingness to awaken, to know our true self. And that the birth of that willingness can be very small, very humble in the beginning. But it's going to grow. See, what's the words here? It's going to grow into all of the glory of heaven. In other words, it's going to grow into full realization of our true self. And in the Bible, when Mary was promised that Jesus was going to be the Christ, the Bible literally says she pondered that promise in her heart. When the little baby was born, you know, because it just looked like a little baby, right? She pondered that promise in her heart. And that's what Holy Spirit is asking us to do, is to ponder the promise in our heart, not with the worrisome thoughts of the ego. Because lots of times what people will do is they will worry that their willingness is not enough. Or they will worry that they don't know guidance. Or they will worry about something on the path. And this is saying, you know, the worrying really, it just really isn't helpful. All the worrying does is gets you upset. You know, all the worrying does is make you uncomfortable. The truth is, you've already turned yourself over to God, you know, in your willingness. And now your path is under God's control. And so to worry is just to be upset without cause. And to not notice the miracles, the progress, the happenings of your own path. You can literally miss the wonderful things that are happening to you if you're too busy worrying and thinking they aren't happening. So it's asking us just to trust now. It's asking us just to trust that we're in God's hands or the universe's hands, however you want to say it. It's really the same. And that you are being led to that full awakening that you have asked for. Because once you've asked for it, it's going to be given. All right, so let's go on to the next paragraph. This is what I ask of you. Willingness has been born in the mind. This willingness promises all of the glory of heaven. For this willingness is the Savior, the Christ, and it is with you within your heart. Do not worry how this willingness will grow to become the glory it promises to be. Rest instead with the thought of the promise and be grateful. It is through your love and gratitude that this babe is nursed. Its growth is inevitable, so do not worry about it. Love it in your heart and be happy there. So very simple. Very simple. Just you know, trust, be happy, love your own desire to, you know, to read NTI, to read A Course in Miracles, to read the Bible, to pray, to sit in silence, you know, whatever you feel guided to do as a part of this awakening process, be grateful that you feel guided to do that instead of worrying that maybe you're not doing the right thing, that you should be doing something else, you know, instead of that whole thought process, because that's just ego. That's all that is. Now, verses 21 to 40, this is the reinterpretation of when Jesus was taken to the temple on the eighth day of his life for the consecration, for the circumcision, right? And there were two miracles that happened on this day. One was an old man that was sitting on the steps of the temple. If I remember correctly, he was almost blind even, but was he? Does anybody know? I could be wrong about that detail. No, he was old. And when Mary and Joseph walked up with the baby, he was so happy because somehow he knew intuitively that this was the Christ. And he told them that he had prayed that before he died, he wanted to see the Christ. And now his prayer had been answered and he could die. And then they also ran into a priestess. I don't remember a lot of details about her, but she also recognized Jesus as the King or the Christ or the Messiah. So that's what's being reinterpreted here, is them recognizing that little baby. We see through the story of Jesus' consecration at the temple that this symbol of willingness has been blessed by the Holy Spirit. This tiny willingness, only newly born and without achievement of any kind, is received by the Holy Spirit as a wonderful gift, and it is received with eternal gratitude. So it is with your willingness. No matter how humble that willingness may seem to be to you, it is the willingness the Holy Spirit has waited for, and it is this willingness for which the Holy Spirit sings praises unto you. Through this willingness, thoughts of deception will be revealed through the grace of the Holy Spirit. Deception shall be seen as deception, and truth shall be seen as truth. All of the angels in heaven shall rejoice because of you. So again, what Holy Spirit really seems to be going after in this particular chapter is any ideas that we may have in our head that something about our spiritual path, something about our awakening path just isn't good enough. You know, that again, we aren't willing enough, we don't follow guidance enough, we aren't silent enough, we don't, you know, read whatever it is we're supposed to be reading enough. He's guiding us to put all of those ideas out of our head, because the only thing they do is make you suffer, right? That's the only thing they do. And he wants us to realize that no matter how humble our willingness seems to us, this is actually a great, great gift in the eyes of the Holy Spirit. This is a wonderful thing. It's celebrated, and we can actually share that celebration no matter where we seem to be on this path. That's irrelevant. Let's see. Continuing on then. There will be conflict in your mind as this young willingness grows within you. Sometimes your goal may seem lost to you, and you will forget your focus and return to the focus of the world. But never fear. The willingness has been born and cannot be lost. It is within the temple of your heart, forever safe, clear in understanding, paving your way for you. When you forget your willingness and then remember it, return to it there in your heart. You will find it there, safe within your Father's love, growing in strength, sure of who it is. Rejoice, for your willingness cannot be lost. Rejoice, for you cannot make a mistake that will cause you to lose your willingness. It is always there, waiting patiently and lovingly for your return to it. When you forget, just return again, and then we shall continue on together. Nothing is ever lost. Nothing is taken away. So, now, first and foremost, of course, this book was written to me because I was the scribe and I was the student. So what was really going on with me at this point was I was fairly new on the spiritual path. I'd been on the spiritual path about a year and a quarter. And something in me knew that it was most helpful to have God in one way or another, to have the purpose of awakening in the forefront of my mind all of the time. So that, like, if I'm having a conversation with Kathy, what should really be on my mind is purpose. So that if some thought comes up to say something to Kathy, maybe gossip about Ruby or something, right? My purpose is on my mind. I recognize I don't want to gossip about Ruby, and so I choose not to. Right? Purpose, always there, so that it's filtering everything I say and everything I do. But as a new student, a year and a quarter into it, even though I knew this, I didn't do that. I might get in, now I didn't know Kathy and Ruby then, so this is all made up. But I might get into a conversation about Kathy, I mean with Kathy, and something about Ruby comes up, and I would just, you know, get into the old habit of the juiciness of talking about Ruby, and I would forget all about purpose, right? We have this conversation about Ruby, and then later on, I would realize what I did, and then I would judge myself for doing it, and then I would feel guilty. So I really compounded the problem by, kind of making a mistake in the first place, but then when you judge yourself for the mistake and you feel guilty for the mistake, you've actually just made another mistake. It's like, you know, double dosing on the ego. So what Spirit is saying here is, that's not necessary. That's not necessary. If you forget your purpose, right, and you fall back into your old ego habits, as soon as you notice that you've forgotten, just get back in purpose right then. And that includes forgiving yourself for your mistakes. Because the truth is, within us, the Holy Spirit, what we call the Holy Spirit within us, you could just call it inner wisdom, whatever you want to call it. These are just words. But the part of you that is guiding you to awakening never judges you under any circumstances. So if you notice that you forgot purpose and you got into gossip or whatever, or you told a lie or whatever, it doesn't matter. And then you notice that you did that. If you judge yourself for it, you're actually just still an ego. You haven't actually shifted gears. So what you want to do when you notice it is you want to say, okay, this is an opportunity to get back in purpose, which means all I'm going to do is forgive myself for that, you know, and I'm going to, you know, now try and keep purpose in the front of my mind. And one symbol that was helpful to me when I was learning this was the symbol of a baby learning to walk. Has everybody had the chance to be around a baby learning to walk? You know, that none of them just get up and walk. Right? They fall down. But what does a baby do when it falls down? It gets back up. Does it yell at itself? Does it say, damn it, I'll never learn to walk? I'm such a stupid idiot. Right? They don't do that. We do that. You know, we do that. Babies maybe are a little smarter than us. But babies don't do that. They just, oops, I fell down, I'll get back up. And that's really what we're being asked to do here. And eventually, in fact, the more gentle we are with ourselves, actually the faster it seems that we get to where we're keeping purpose on our mind all the time. The more you judge yourself, the more you actually stay stuck. Because again, judgment is ego. So you're staying in ego through the judgment. You're not returning to spirit, right? So try to forgive yourself, you know, do your best to forgive yourself and just return yourself back to purpose. Think of yourself as a little baby who just fell down while learning to walk and just get back up and start trying to walk again. Doesn't matter if you have to do it 100 times a day. It's irrelevant, right? Okay, let's see. I think we have time, do we? Let's see how long chapter 3 is. That's kind of long. Let's go ahead and do a little bit of chapter 3. So chapter 3. Your willingness is the calling within you. This willingness is within everyone, resting patiently within the heart, waiting for the day it is asked to sing its song. The song it sings is a calling, asking the one who hears its tune to follow it to a new way and a new day. John the Baptist is the symbol of this calling within all of us. Not yet fully the Christ, it is the voice within a split mind that calls it to return to one mind, which is the Christ. For Christ is free of illusions and released from distractions, singularly focused on the willingness that is the will of God. Do you guys all know John the Baptist? Have you all been familiar with him through a movie or something? So you know how focused John the Baptist was, right? But you also know that when Jesus came to John the Baptist said, I am not the Christ, he is greater than I, right? So this is saying that within us, this calling, this willingness, that's a bridge that is going to lead us to the full realization of our Christhood. And what we want to do is follow that bridge, follow that willingness. And we want to try our best to be like John the Baptist on that path. Try our best not to be distracted, but without forgetting the previous chapter, which said, but if you are distracted, just get right back on again, right? But always trying our best. And then in sentence 7, it goes on, it's going to help us notice what a distraction is, because not everyone even knows what a distraction is. And again, remember, this was given to me as a fairly new student. So it says, what distracts you from the singular thought of God? Distractions take many forms. They may seem to be positive or negative distractions. They may seem to be problems you face or pleasures you enjoy. But if they keep your thoughts away from the singular thought of God, they are distractions for you. So if I was to, you know, lose my source of income today, it's possible that I could completely forget about purpose and become completely absorbed in how can I get money? I need money. How can I get money? That means that has become a distraction for me. Another option, however, would be to continue to remember purpose, right? To notice the fears that are showing up in my mind, to focus on letting go of the fears, focus on getting in trust. Then the same situation has not become a distraction because I'm allowing it to be used to help me for my awakening. So it's not that a distraction is a specific situation. It's more where is your mind when you're in that specific situation. You know, for some people, watching a movie could be a distraction. You could completely forget about God while you're watching the movie. For other people, when they're watching the movie, they're getting little prompts from the Holy Spirit as they're watching, right? So then you can't say a movie's a distraction. Same thing is true with television. So a distraction is not a specific thing. It's, have you lost the thought of purpose, or are you holding on to the thought of purpose while you're doing that thing? Holy Spirit continues, do not feel guilty about your distractions, for distractions cause no loss in the will of God. God's will is truth, and so it remains always true. Distractions can have no effect on it. Distractions only distract you from what is true, so that your focus is on distractions, which distract you from the awareness of truth. So again, nothing's happened here, except that you forgot God for a while, you know. So again, he's judging us, he's asking us not to judge ourselves. He's guiding us not to judge ourselves. But then the awakened willingness within comes, and it calls you to turn away from distractions. It calls you to return your mind fully to the awareness of truth. In this calling, your distractions can serve the purpose of truth. For all things given to your willingness will be used by your willingness to further awaken the call within you. This will continue until your distractions are no more, and you are fully awake to the singular thought of God without distraction of any kind. So what this is saying is, if you notice you've been distracted, you know, maybe you'll decide to stop what you're doing. Maybe you'll think, you know what, I'm sitting here watching meaningless television, and I could be meditating or reading A Course in Miracles or reading NTI or reading the Bible, and you think, you know what, I'm just going to turn off the TV and do something else. But again, since the distraction is not in the thing, the distraction is in the mind, what this paragraph is really saying is it might not require any change of activity, just a change of where your mind is while you're doing the activity. You know, lots of times I watch television with Jasmine, and I know that I'm supposed to be watching television with Jasmine. That's, for her, that's us being together. So, but the question is, where is my mind while I'm watching television with Jasmine, right? So the exact same thing that was a distraction a moment ago can now become a useful thing. I can't think of a better word. A useful thing with Holy Spirit. It's just a matter of shifting the mind, remembering the purpose. So it's all really quite simple.
So how do you do that? How are you watching TV with the Holy Spirit?
Well, all you have to do is just keep purpose on your mind. And then often what I will do is I'll just ask Spirit if there's anything helpful for me in the TV to let me see it. But for the most part, it's just keeping purpose on your mind. What I do now is I actually, I don't know how to say that, I keep my mind in my heart. So when I'm sitting there watching TV with Jasmine, there's something in me that is just feeling the stillness of my heart while I'm interacting with her. And like I'm not leaving that stillness. I'm not totally forgetting about it. At an earlier time on my path, when I still had so many lessons I needed to learn, I would pay attention to my emotions as I watched TV. If I started getting angry at a character, which will happen, I would know, wait a minute, there's something in me that's being triggered here, and I would look to see what that was. So I used to use TV as a forgiveness, and in fact, it's a pretty cool way. I don't have to wait to get in a fight with Jack to learn there's something in me. I can watch two characters fighting on this TV and realize I'm on her side, not his side, and see there's something in me. You know, it's actually easier than getting in a fight with Jack. So I used to use it for forgiveness. Now I honestly don't have as much forgiveness, so I just use it to try and stay focused in my heart and not forget my heart even while I seem to be doing something else. So either one of those works. Does that help?
I'm just thinking about how much time I spend on the internet and how to keep myself centered.
Yeah. Yeah, well, also, like today I did tax letters. I had to send out letters to everyone who's donated to the foundation in the last year. So I had, you know, quite a few tax letters to do, and they're each individual because, you know, everybody donated a different amount. If I could just get everybody to donate the same amount, I'd only have to do one letter. But, and so what I would do is I would do the tax letter, but in between every letter there was the save that I had to do, and then, you know, send, and then do an attachment, and then send. So there are all these little pauses that could be anywhere from 2 seconds to 10 seconds, depending on how fast the computer was. Used to, once upon a time, in that 2 seconds to 10 seconds, I was either getting frustrated or I was looking for something else to do. Like I would switch over to another window and do something else or quickly make a phone call. Now I see every one of those pauses on the computer as an opportunity to be still and fill my heart. And I literally will put my hands, because this is just the way I like to put my hands. For some reason, it helps me. I will literally put my hands like this and sit back in my chair and be still for that 2 to 10 seconds and then go forward. And so what happens in the process of doing however many tax letters I did today, I had a lot of little stillness breaks throughout the afternoon. The truth is there are opportunities everywhere throughout the day. Another one, I don't know if this is true for guys, but for girls, another one is when you're going to the bathroom. You know, truly, because you sit down for a second there. You don't have to jump right back up, you know. You can just stay there for a second, just be still. You're in a room all by yourself, the door's closed. Just take a second, you know, to just be there and then get up and go on about your day. And all of these little bitty breaks, even if they're only, you know, 2 seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, somehow they add up. You know, miraculously they add up to where you start carrying this peace in your heart that maybe you weren't carrying around with you before. You could also practice, you know, if you do still get distracted when you're watching TV and yet you still want to be there, you could start practicing muting it on commercials. Use the commercials as stillness breaks. You're probably not as interested in the commercials as the show, right? There's plenty of them. You're going to get a lot of stillness breaks in the course of 1 3-hour evening watching TV, right? So there's all kinds of opportunities to keep purpose in your mind, even in just regular everyday life.
Paramahansa Yogananda, when he came to America,
yes,
settled first in Boston.
Oh.
And he had a room that was near one of those trains.
Yes.
And every time he'd go to meditate, the train would go, bah, 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 bah. So he complained to God. He said, God, how do you expect me to meditate when these trains keep going? And God said to him, do you think God is only in the silence?
Right.
How do you expect to find God in the world?
Right.
If you can only meditate in silence.
I felt like I was kind of lucky when I first started the spiritual path because Jasmine was 7. And she's not going to sit there and be quiet for 2 or 3 hours because I want to meditate and be in stillness. She's playing around. I mean, she would leave me alone. She's always had that in her. She would leave me alone, but she wanted to be right by me. So she's at my feet, playing, making noise, Disney Channel's on, the whole bit, right? I didn't have silence. And so I don't need silence because I had to learn to do it without silence. You know, it just wasn't in my world. So let's see. Okay, starting with sentence 23. It is as written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. So again, what's happening in this particular section is he's really focusing on our willingness. And he's saying that our willingness is our calling. He's telling us we can trust our willingness. Just continually return ourselves to our willingness, our purpose, and we forget. And what this is saying is that our willingness is that within us that's going to take care of everything else. You may not be aware of it unless you're looking for it, but the universe is being rearranged by your willingness to bring to you everything that needs to be brought to you, so that ego can be seen and released, right? The rough roads are being made smooth. The crookeds are being made straight. The hills low. The valleys are being raised. So that eventually everything will be even. When everything's even, that's when you realize Christ within yourself. But until then, everything is coming to help make that happen. And it comes through your willingness. And so all you have to do is trust that, be grateful for that, and keep returning yourself to that when you forget it. And that's your job. Everything else gets taken care of for you. So I think that's enough for today. So why don't we just take a few minutes of silence like we did last week, and then we'll open it up for discussion. Let me turn off the recorder, and we're done.